Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Welcome to the post-impact PW Torch livecast here on August 31st, 2017. I am Mike McMahon alongside Andrew Socek. Andrew, how are you this week?
Mike, doing pretty good. Decent episode, I would say. We just watched.
Yeah, I would say so too. There were some things that I liked a lot better than others, but that seems to be the par for the course most weeks, that there's things I think that come across better than others. But overall, you know, I thought it was a good first week for Eli Drake as champion, although the match itself was, I usually don't complain about long matches. I'd say the match itself felt a little long, especially considering the angle afterwards. You know, my biggest complaint about the main event, I guess, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, is it just sort of felt like the match was good. But once we got to the end of the match and the angle after that, it sort of felt like it was just a filler piece to get to that Jim Cornette angle at the end where he set up the title match with Matt Sydal next week against Drake. So that I was a little disappointed in. You know, I didn't think that the, if you're going to do a long 20-plus minute tag team match like that, make it feel like the results of it were somewhat consequential and had some sort of consequence to it. It almost felt like the match, the consequence of the match itself was almost immediately erased by Jim Cornette, or by American Top Team coming down to the ringside area and then Jim Cornette setting up next week's main event, which I'm sort of torn because, hey, I like them advertising things ahead of time. I think that's a good idea. But I felt like the way they did this took away a little bit from the consequence of the 20-plus minute match they just featured in their main event.
Yeah, I'm probably more down on this than you are, just in general. I think the match made Johnny Impact already feel kind of normal. It wasn't really like a spot case for him. Like you said, I thought it was way too long. It felt like a half an hour to me. And
I think it was 27 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that just seems way too long for Eli Drake's first tag match.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to go back because I almost wonder. That's what I had. I had it written down that the match started at exactly 9:30 and ended at 9:57. Yeah. But I almost wonder if I wrote the wrong time down. Like, I'm going to have to go back and DVR and check that just to make sure I have it right. But yeah, I had it written down as 27 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it started at 9:30 or 8:30 my time. Yeah, it felt long, and it wasn't a bad match, but yeah, I thought it brought those guys down. I'm not big on the Chris Adonis pairing with Eli Drake anymore. I think they need to get those guys apart. And like you said, that show ending angle, it just felt so repetitive at this point. If they're gonna have these guys get involved, this should have been the night where they, the MMA guys ran in and beat everyone up. Otherwise, it just feels so redundant at this point to me. And once again, it overshadowed Johnny Impact and Eli Drake. So, I did not enjoy the fallout from that match.
From the perspective of Johnny Impact, I'd agree with you. It made him feel very, very very normal right away, which probably is not a good thing, considering, you know, they're going to want him to come in and be near the top of the card. But you sort of lost him in that tag team match. And I understand you want to put him in a big spot. You want to get him out there in a prime, you know, a prime spot on the show right away. But, you know, this was almost one of those situations where you wonder, you know what, might it have been better off, would they have been better off putting him in a singles match against, I mean, pick your heel. Even put him in a singles match against Adonis, you know, in the middle of the 9 o'clock hour and have him win rather than have him be on the losing end of a tag team match. So I'd agree with you there that I think it took some of the shine off of him. You know, I think if you're going to put him in the type of matches they did in the main event, you probably need him to win and get the title shot for him to feel like he's a big deal. And I know neither of us are big fans of them rocketing former WWE guys to the top right away, but if you really wanted to strap the rocket to Johnny Impact, I think that would have been better than having him be on the losing end of a tag team match 2 weeks into the company.
I think so, too. And I think this is one of those occasions where he's a big enough star that other people should be talking about him throughout the show. Like, cut to backstage interviews of like, oh, what's Johnny Impact doing here? What's he going to do? And just make it seem like it's a huge thing that he has chosen, you know, Global Force. So first, say WWE, because he could probably go back there if he wanted. But yeah, he just by the end of the night, it's one of those things where they really should have thought this through months in advance, because yes, Eli Drake is the champ, but over the past few months, we saw them lose to football players. We saw them get intimidated by the Swole guys, and then they just didn't talk for a week. So the fact that they're now credible, it's hard to buy into. And I think it brings Johnny Impact down for not just being able to at least manhandle Chris Adonis at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I think that they could have done something better there to highlight, you know, highlight more than one of those guys too. I mean, everybody, I think, sort of felt like they were just there to fill time. Not so much during the match, but I would say after the match when they set up the angle afterwards. So give us a call at 515-605-9345 if you want to share your thoughts on the main event of tonight's Impact. But there's a lot of other things to discuss as well. We got callers already on the line. Again, 515-605-9345. Just make sure that you hit the number 1 after you call in. That'll tell us that you want to get on the line and talk on the air. So 515-605-9345. Once you're on hold, once you're hearing us talk, hit the number 1. That will put you in the caller queue. But there's a couple of other news items to hit on too that weren't necessarily on the air. Andrew and I will share thoughts on the Rosemary Sexy Star incident from last weekend in Mexico, where Rosemary was hurt in a pretty ugly looking situation right at the end of her match down in Mexico. And then also there's the report today that I haven't really seen elsewhere, but is big news from an Impact standpoint. Wrestling Observer Newsletter reported this week that GFW and Pop TV have agreed to a contract extension that will air Impact on the network through 2018. So we've talked about it, you know, over the last couple of weeks. Where is this show going to end up for next year? Would they be able to find a new home? Andrew, what was your initial takeaway to the news from the Wrestling Observer that GFW is going to keep Impact on Pop for another year? It seems like it's just a 1 year re-up, and then they'll see where they go at the end of 2018.
I was pretty surprised by this. Jeff Jarrett has been pretty open in interviews, and I think Ed Nordholm, of just wanting to explore other options and look at other networks. So for them to stay on this network and one that they haven't been overly excited about, definitely surprising. I wonder if Pop is giving them more money they must be giving them some sort of better deal for them to not look for a new home at this point. I mean, it's not even September yet, and they had till the end of the year. So it's probably some good news for them, but at this point, they're never going to get to that 400,000, 500,000 viewership if they're going to be on this network, I would assume, unless they start creating just great TV. What did you think about it?
My first reaction is that they made this move probably because they didn't have any other choice. I think they probably had put out feelers and had an idea that they weren't going to get offers elsewhere, or that there really wasn't much interest elsewhere. You know, it's a little confusing too, because you look at the numbers and 300,000 viewers on a weekly basis for original programming 52 weeks out of the year is pretty unique. And it's not something that a lot of other shows would be able to, do, especially on some of these smaller networks. So I'm a little surprised that somebody wouldn't take a chance on a guaranteed 300,000 viewers a week with new programming guaranteed once a week the entire year. There's just not a lot of networks that have a situation like that. I think wrestling does scare some networks away because they're afraid what they're going to be able to sell from an advertising standpoint. But I was a little surprised, because I think it signifies that they just didn't have any other options, and they knew they were going to either re-up with Pop or potentially be without TV altogether. So I think if they thought someone else was going to be interested, and I know I floated as a theory, Fox Sports with Fox Sports One looking for programming. If they knew that Fox Sports was interested, if they knew that Viacom was going to be interested again and maybe airing the show on the Paramount Network, if they knew that something like that was potentially going to happen for them, I think that they would have explored those opportunities. I think what this tells us is that they probably didn't have any of that cooking. They've probably put out some feelers. They've probably got some feedback that there's not a lot of interest, so they re-upped with the place that they have. Now, the other thing that I think is interesting is a couple of weeks ago, they started planting seeds for this global wrestling network that they're going to launch, that they keep saying they're going to launch soon. I don't think there's been a date put on it yet, but this is going to be essentially their version of the WWE Network, and it's going to include free episodes of Impact. I don't know if that's going to be that they're going to stream it live as it airs on Pop, or if it's going to be on demand on the global wrestling network, but I almost wonder, if they go another year, if this report is correct and they go through 2018 and then they get to the end of 2018 and there's still no interest from a television provider, do they take the step of trying to basically produce their content on their own and moving it exclusively to the global wrestling network? And I know they have international television partners, so maybe that stays in place, but I think that would be risky, because I think it would be hard for them to grow their audience with a platform like that, because you run the risk, or you don't have the opportunity to have someone stumble upon it by accident and then continue to watch. You'd have to try to gain new viewers and new subscribers in a different way, and I don't know what that different way is, but the fact that they started to plug that a couple of weeks ago, which I would think would be right around the time a new deal would have been agreed to. These things don't just happen out of the blue. So a couple of weeks ago is probably when they knew they were going to be staying with Pop, and right almost on cue, that's when they started planting the seeds for this global wrestling network. I wonder if that's something they might consider moving forward. I mean, Jeff Jarrett has talked about it too in that conference call about a month ago, that everything's on the table when it comes to distribution. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe explore that a year from now even, which I think might be a little early. But I don't know if it'd be a wise move, because like I said, they are in a position where I think they need to grow their audience, and I'm not sure that you can grow much when no one really has an opportunity to see you unless they subscribe, to your network. But I think it's going to be an interesting story to follow over the next year.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, overall, this has got to be disappointing for them. With the new management team coming in, Anthem seemed like they had good connections. Jeff Jarrett is certainly better in corporate meetings than, say, Dixie Carter ever was. So I think they probably had much higher hopes. And like you said, I think it's too soon for them to jump to just like a global force network like that. Basically, they're doing 10%. Of the viewership that WWE does. It's about 300,000 compared to their 3 million. Are they going to be able to get that equivalent amount of people to subscribe to Global Force? That doesn't even seem possible to me at this point. WWE, what is it, like 1.5 million people right now are subscribing to that?
Roughly. I mean, I don't know if that's if I mean, they'd have to do studies, of course, and I'm sure they'd do some sort. I would assume they would do some type of market research. But if you were to say, like you said, it's about 10% of what WWE's is, and they're at about a third that subscribe. I mean, a third of their weekly cable viewers seem to subscribe to their network. So that would put GFW, if they're able to get that same rate, at about 100,000. And I don't know what the number is. You know, let's say they charge, and I don't think they're going to do, if they're smart, they go even less than 10 bucks a month. Maybe they go $7. I mean, what's Netflix? I think Netflix starts at seven.
Eight.
Yeah. So maybe you go $7 a month.
Yeah.
So if you go $7 a month and you're able to get 100,000, which is a reach, because remember, WWE Network didn't have a million at launch. They were less than that. They've had to work up to a million or a little over. You know, if they're able to, let's say, generate 400,000 a month from their app at some point, it's hard to say if it's a good business decision or not, because we don't know what Pop TV is paying them. It seems like it's a barter deal and they're sharing advertising, but we don't know what that income is. So it's hard to say in the short term if it's a good deal or not. I think that they run the risk of plateauing their audience at whatever it is when that application starts, if they move the show exclusively to there, because you make it a lot harder for people to watch your show. You need to you have to engage them in another way that isn't someone watching the TV show or someone seeing something online and go, yeah, you know what, I'll take a look at Pop TV on Thursday and watch this match because I'm interested in seeing it. You could run an advertisement online right now and someone could see, oh, next week it's well, let's use next week. They're going to do Eli Drake against Matt Sydal for the GFW title. Someone might see a YouTube advertisement for that and say, yeah, you know what, that interests me. I'll watch that on Pop TV next week. But if their option is, oh, I'm interested in that match, oh, wait a minute, I have to sign up for your network at $7 a month just to see that one match, I don't think there's going to be as many people that go, oh, I'm going to check it out. I think people will just go, well, I'm not going to pay for it. You know, I think it's going to be harder for them to grow that, to grow their audience than it is if you're on a television network. That being said, they're also in the business of making money. So I'd be curious if they believe they can make more money even with a fraction of the viewership they have now, which sounds crazy because they are at a fraction of what they used to be. But they might feel even at a fraction of what they are now, it makes more financial sense to go there.
Yeah, I think it definitely needs to be a supplement to that because, yeah, I just cannot imagine people. I mean, even to me, it seems like $5 is probably what they can charge because basically, what do you have? 600 episodes of Impact. A couple hundred pay-per-views, maybe 12 times, 150 or so roughly. Whereas, you know, you got old episodes of Raw, SmackDown, hundreds and hundreds of pay-per-views on WWE Network. So to go, you know, to charge even like 70% of what they do seems way too much for what the content that they're going to be able to provide. So I'm incredibly curious what they're going to be able to charge for that. And if they are able to put together any originals like WWE has, I just can't even imagine they'll be able to come anywhere near close to that within the next few years.
Yeah, and we're seeing WWE scale back on that content considerably. I mean, there's shows that have just been outright been canceled. There's other ones that have just sort of gone into production holds and pauses, and they never seem to be heard from again. So I think WWE is even learning that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for those original programmings that aren't, you know, pay-per-views being aired. Those obviously do well. So, yeah, I think if you're Impact, I mean, I would assume if they're going to put episodes of Impact on that streaming network, I don't know if they have a television deal with Pop, I can't imagine it's going to be live. I would have to assume it's on demand after the Pop show ends, maybe. I can't imagine that even on a barter deal that Pop is going to allow them to stream it live. But I think they would just be episodes of Impact and their pay-per-view library and any other content that they have. I mean, they've got some of the British boot camps and they've got some other things that they've produced that they could use. I think basically it becomes where you can access their entire video library, but it's not nearly as in-depth as WWE's. There's not nearly as much history there. So I definitely think that they would have to charge less. All right, let's go let's go to our first break. This is an interesting topic, though, and I'm sure it'll be one we discuss at other portions of the show tonight. We have a lot of people on hold right now, way more than usual. So if you want to get on the line, 515-605-9345, make sure you hit the number 1. That'll let us know you want to get on the air. We'll try to get through as many calls as we can in the next segment. If it needs to carry over into segment 3, we will do that. If you do give us a call tonight, we promise you, you will get on the air at some point. So 515-605-9345. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast, and we will be back right after this.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it, it takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, back here in the PW Torch Livecast, we're going to start rolling through some phone calls here. We're going to go in the order in which people have been on hold the longest. So 515-605-9345. Up first this week is Cody in Louisiana. Cody, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to y'all again. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Pretty good. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing much. This is a pretty busy night trying to watch Impact while trying to catch up on some preseason football and some college football. But I had a few questions about this week's episode. First off, I want to say that I agree with you guys about the end of the the very closing segment of the show. It seems that even though Eli Drake's the champion, he still ends up getting the short end of the stick. But I wanted to ask about Matt Seidel, because at the beginning of the show, Jim Cornette had mentioned that he was talking to Matt Seidel, and apparently he was not very happy. And the question I was going to ask was, well, where the heck has he been on television? Because he was not on the show last week, and he didn't show up until the very end of this week's episode. I would have at least liked to have seen him in some kind of backstage interview where he's trying to get, you know, the title shot that he earned. But, and I do agree with you, Mike, when you said that it's nice to have things in advance, but it still came at the expense of, the champion that you're trying to push. So, do you think it would have been better to just wait until next week to have Eli Drake come out and gloat about how he won the tag team match, only to have Jim Cornette come out and say, "Oh, here's your next test."
Yeah, you know, I don't like the way they did it tonight, and I'm also not a huge fan of them doing it night of either. Even tonight, they set up this tag team match in the opening segment. They've been really into putting stuff on their YouTube channel lately. They've been really into plugging their YouTube channel. I almost think that this is something you could have taped and aired on Monday on their YouTube channel, directed through all their social media accounts, directed through their website, and, you know, have just Jim Cornette maybe even just sitting at his desk and saying, "Hey, it's Monday. I'm here at my office here at GFW, and on Thursday night on Impact, we have it signed. We have it booked. Matt Seidel wants a world title shot. That's the title opportunity he's picking, and on Thursday, he's going to get his match against Eli Drake." And then you could start Thursday's show with a promo from Eli Drake explaining why he thinks that's unfair or blah, blah, blah. So I think if it were me, that's how I would have preferred to see them do it, just so that you at least could leave the show tonight with the match and have the match be the story and not the hoopla or after the match. Andrew, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it would have been better for them to announce it next week, or are there some other ways that you think they could have gotten to that match next week without taking away from the main event tonight?
Yeah, I think overall it's just kind of bad, lazy writing, because the whole thing is Matt Seidel had the number one contendership, and then they threw this match out tonight just to, I don't know, whoever won, you know, got closer to the title. So I felt tonight should have been more just Seidel and Eli Drake. You know, Eli Drake could gloat like, "Oh, I beat 19 guys last week. I got no problem beating one next week." And just like focus on that, especially if they're going to do Johnny Impact versus Eli Drake as a big match. I think they gave us way too much of that tonight in order to build that up as a meaningful one-on-one match. So, yeah, I think it's just very inconsistent writing to just kind of push Seidel to the side like that the past few weeks.
That was the one thing that I felt was confusing about this match, too, is we have a number one contender or a guy who's going to get a title shot. We don't know what title he's going to pick. I think it makes Matt Sydal look like an idiot if he picks the X Division title. I mean, the world title is the biggest title in the company. That should be the one that you aspire to. You have a guy, and he did. He did pick that at the end of the show. So we have a guy who's the number one contender for the world title, and at the same time, we're going to have a match that could also determine a number one contender for the world title. So it's like, well, we have a number one contender, but he's going to slot behind the guy who's already the number one contender because a guy already became number one contender. Why are we determining a number one contender when the guy who is currently the number one contender hasn't even challenged yet? I thought that was a little weird too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lazy booking as well. I would have even been fine with if next week they announced they would have the match the following week, so they could still have that week to build up. It'd be nice to see, you know, Eli Drake treated a little bit more like a champion, even more like a heel champion. Just give that time to build him. But let's stay on track with the closing segment. I really liked the storyline between, you know, GFW management and American Top Team. I thought it was really well. But the one thing that really bothered me about the promos is that they all have this, like, you know, I'm just following along with the videos that they're showing, and it's got a good vibe. But then all of a sudden, Karen Jarrett just starts screaming at the top of her lungs, and it's so uncomfortable and it bothers me so much. Do you guys even think that was really necessary, or does she not really know how to play her part correctly?
Andrew, I think you hit the nail right in the head with your tweet earlier tonight, Andrew. She is, she's got her Stephanie McMahon impression on point right now. That's who she's trying to be, in my opinion.
Just like watching her tonight, I don't know, even that camera angle, I'm like, man, she like is trying to look like her. She's trying to sound like her. She just wants to talk down to heels and make it look like she's the top, most important, badass woman in the company. And I totally agree with you. Her just screaming in their face. I can't remember what she was saying. Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do for a living, whatever it was. Very, very obnoxious for me. And just, it feels so forced that she has to be in all these segments. It's just overbearing.
Yeah. And I honestly thought Bruce Pritchard was a big problem on television, but, it's just really hard to concentrate on what's going on when, you know, you got Jeff Jarrett and Dan Lambert trying to talk out, and then Karen Jarrett just starts like screaming, and it just throws everybody off, and it sounds way too forced, and it's very uncomfortable to watch, because you know she's overdoing it, you know. Speaking of Karen Jarrett, she was on the women's segment earlier, and Pat and Greg mentioned this on the live cast on Sunday, but I want to get your guys' opinion on it. I was really excited when Taryn Terrell came back, because I was always a fan of her in WWE when she was the ECW general manager. I thought it was really cool to have a mature woman as general manager, a young mature woman as general manager of a show, and I thought it was really cool. But it just seemed like she was downgraded, and I didn't watch Impact at the time when she was with the Dollhouse and whatnot. But the one thing that really caught my eye is that she looked like she did something else other than pro wrestling, if you know what I mean. But is it a good idea? First off, do you guys agree with how she's just like being presented now as opposed to how she was before? And if you think this, you know, the feud between her and Gail Kim is going to be good for the Knockouts division?
I don't know about you, Andrew. I don't really notice much of a difference about her, the way she is from a character standpoint. The persona is a little different, but I think they're ultimately going to go in the same direction. I don't think they're going to go in and straight up copy what they were doing before and have her lead a stable again and have her be the leader of the Dollhouse or anything like that. But I sort of think they're just going to kind of go in the same direction they did with her a couple of years ago. Where she's going to play the heel and sort of, You know, I don't really like that type of presentation because I think it's a little – I think it's been done with women's wrestling over and over and over again, this type of story where, you know, the jealousy story, I guess you could call it. But, yeah, I like more of what WWE does with their women lately. And not that all of what they've done has been great either, but the whole – why are they feuding? I mean, Taryn Terrell came out last week and said she was there for the Hall of Fame and Gail never called her and Gail never said thank you. It's just – it's – I don't know. I'm trying to find the right word to describe it, but I think it's a little too cliche, I guess. Andrew, what are your thoughts on how she's been presented so far?
Yeah, I think my biggest problem, it's probably a different problem. It's just that, so the storyline was a couple of years ago that she feuded with Gail Kim. She wanted Robert Irvine. She wanted to break up that family. And so it's like we're supposed to forget all that and just pretend they were friends all this time because she went to her ceremony.
Yeah,
and
good,
now
that's
she's
a good point.
Like, yeah, so they're making you forget what we actually saw in order to buy into this new story. I do like Taryn Terrell. I think she's a good character. I don't think she's a great wrestler. I think she's fine, though. So I am glad that she's back, and I think she definitely adds some depth to that division. But yeah, I'm not super excited over this storyline at the moment. I think I'd probably rather just see the Allie Taryn Terrell story, or, you know, do something with her instead of going back to Kim. But yeah, I'm not totally down on it. I'm just not very excited about it at the moment.
Gotcha. Well, it's I at least wanted to ask you guys because y'all certainly know a lot more about it than I do. And with that note, that's really all I had for you guys tonight. So I hope you guys have a good night.
Thanks, Cody. You too.
Adios.
All right. Cody drops off. We're going to go to our next caller. This is Kylan in New Jersey. And again, you can give us a call at 515-605-9345. Kylan, how are you this evening?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all.
That's great. My first question for this week concerns the surprising news of the renewal of Global Force Wrestling's deal with Pop TV. I doubt that this will actually happen, but do you suppose that one of the points of renewal for Global Force was if you stay here, since you are either number one or number two show now, that Impact could have gone to number one, and we don't even know about it because Pop doesn't release their numbers. But could one of their points of renewal have been, if you stay here, we'll give you most of our commercials since you hardly even know that Impact is on Pop TV?
That would be really interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that could be something that enticed them a little bit more. But then again, you know, I'm not sure that Pop would be on board with something like that either, because if they're giving away more of their commercial time, I mean, that's how they're making money off of Impact Wrestling as well. But yeah, I could see that potentially being something that they could use to entice them. I honestly, I could also see them just saying, hey, let's keep the same terms we have now and just adding another year to it. It'd be interesting in seeing what the agreement is there. But Andrew, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think they did anything to entice them to stay? Do you think there was anything extra that they offered, or do you think the deal is probably similar to what it has been?
I would hope so for GFW's a part that they did get a better deal. But yeah, I mean, maybe it is. relatively the same. Though they have had a little bit of momentum, you could argue, because not too long ago, I think they did, 340,000 viewers or something. So there's like these spikes in viewership that they have. So maybe they could, you know, claim that we'll build on that and the ratings will grow. And Pop TV is encouraged by that. So maybe they did offer them a better deal. It's probably not an amazing deal, because otherwise they would have locked them in for a few more years and they'd make a bigger deal out of it. But I'm guessing they got a little bit of a better deal, but yeah, nothing amazing.
You're probably right, man. I had to throw that one out there. My second question is a question that I hate to even ask, but it's regarding the Allie and Taryn Terrell segment. Is Vince Russo secretly back writing the Impact TV show, because the end of that segment was very, very disturbing to me, with Taryn Terrell saying, "Can you please give Gail Kim the message that you are so blatantly annoying?"
Yeah, it did feel that way. I don't think, I mean, in reality, I don't think so. I just don't, I don't think Jeff Jarrett is that naive. I hope not. But yeah, that that did feel a lot like a Russo production, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Very much so.
Although both the women did have their clothes on by the end of the segment, so he probably didn't write it.
That's true. And nothing was on a pole.
Right, and yeah, yeah.
Yet, anyway. We'll see. We'll see where this goes.
And in a similar vein to that, regarding this whole Grado and Laura S. debacle, are we seriously to believe that no one in Global Force Wrestling travel or talent relations department did enough research to know that Laurel Van Ness is Canadian?
Yeah, I got a kick out of that too. Yeah, it's funny because I remember thinking that last week, and just not, I don't even think I wrote about it in the report. I may have made a joke about it. I don't remember, but it was interesting because I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. He's marrying a Canadian, that's going to keep the U.S. But yeah, I it caught me off guard. I didn't think they would go there. I did think it was kind of funny though. Andrew, what were your thoughts on that segment where Grado finds out that even though he's getting married, it's not going to keep him in the country because Laura Van Ness is a Canadian?
Yeah, I can't help it. I kind of like it for some reason. It's so stupid, and it's not good. It's bad, but Joseph Park's, like, most obvious spit take ever. Like, you knew it was coming.
It's so stupid.
But it made me laugh. I can't help it. But, yeah, I don't know. I could understand why people wouldn't like it at all. But, it's a guilty pleasure at the moment.
We all have to have those, but this certainly does not qualify as fast for.
Understandable, yeah.
Anything else on your mind tonight, Kylan?
Oh, one more thing. With neither Eddie Edwards nor Johnny Impact winning tonight's main event tag match. Does this place a damper in your theory, Mike, that we will probably see an Eli Drake, Johnny Impact Global Championship match on November 5th at Mound for Glory?
I think they could still go there. Yeah, I sort of agree with what Andrew was saying earlier. I think if that's the plan, they gave us way too much of it tonight. Just even having them in the ring as much as they did at the same time gave a lot of that away. And I think if you're going to – whatever match Johnny Impact's going to be in at Bound for Glory, these big matches that he's going to have, he hasn't really – been in the ring with any of these Global Force guys yet, at least not on a big stage. So I think you got to try to protect his big matches as much as possible. And they did give us a lot of that tonight. So I don't know if that's an indication of where they may go, but I'm on Andrew's side of regardless, they gave us a little too much of this in that tag match, I think. Andrew, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably where they're still headed. Although I'm not very confident in that. I just have no idea where else they're going to go at this point to Bound for Glory. But yeah, I did not like that. You know, like when Chris Jericho came into WWE or WWF at the time, and he went up against The Rock, like they didn't fight in a tag match later that night. And then the next week they fought in a battle royal against each other. I mean, of course, Jericho didn't work out in the way they hoped right away, but they were planning, you know, months or weeks down the advance, at least, to have those two meet up, you know. So for, you know, John Morrison to come in, you know, treat Eli Drake like he's a big deal and make people want to see that. Don't just throw it out there that, you know, at the end of the night and then expect people to pay $40 to see them fight in a singles match. So if that is where they're headed, I think it was a big misstep tonight. And that is kind of where I think they're headed.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, Kylan. Thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome, Mike.
All right. Let's go to a break. We got some more callers on the line at 515-605-9345. Again, just make sure you hit the number 1. We're going to get to more of your phone calls in just a couple of seconds. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, we're going to get to everybody here tonight in the PW Torch Livecast post-impact show, so let's get right back to the phone calls. Up next is Kenny in Tennessee. Kenny, how you doing?
Hey, Mike and Andrew, I'm doing just fine. You know, we're kind of battling a little bit of the remnants of what's Hurricane Harvey as far as rain and maybe some storms, but other than that, it's been a pretty okay night. I watched Impact, and to be quite honest, I was entertained with the match quality for the most part, with the exception of the Richard Justice Conga Khan match. I think that will have to stem as probably being the worst match of the night, I think.
Yeah, that was not going to get any argument from me either. Yeah, that was a strange one.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of quick things. The first thing I want to talk about, you know, you guys have already talked about the deal with Impact Wrestling and Pop TV, and in a way, I guess you can say it makes sense, is, you know, to give them another year, Anthem, to get their feet wet in terms of trying to build this global network that they're doing. And, you know, the thing that I realized, and what I don't even think Jeff Jarrett may not even realize, is that Pop TV is technically owned by CBS Corporation. Now, they don't have a lot of channels as far as like 24/7 cable channels and so forth. You know, they have CBS, obviously Showtime, and they also have the CBS Sports Network. Now, of all the networks that have the sports networks, they're the ones that do not have the most as far as intern properties. And, you know, going back to WWE and when they moved SmackDown from Sci-Fi to USA to kind of create sort of a barter situation as far as having the two shows on one network deal, my feeling is if Impact was to grow an audience, like let's say they have a familiarity with the audience on POP TV and they somehow managed to grow a respectable audience, you know, somewhere around like 400,000 to 500,000. Do you think it would be possible that a show like that would work on, let's say, a CBS Sports Network, or they don't really have a lot of content per se because they're not willing to spend that much on content and they say, oh, we've already paid for this and it's considered, you know, it's not necessarily real, conceived as real sport, but hey, you know, we can air this on our network and maybe get a bigger audience.
I think so, yeah. In fact, I would argue that Impact is a better fit for the CBS Sports Network. I'm looking at some of their programming now. They have some deals with some college conferences. I know they do a lot of college sports, and they do a lot of college basketball and a lot of college football. But they're partnered with a lot of smaller conferences, Conference USA in football, the Mountain West Conference, Army and Navy. I know are partners with CBS, with the CBS Sports Network, and in basketball, they've got the Atlantic 10, which is a pretty decent sized conference. The American Athletic Conference is pretty decent. They sublicense those from Fox Sports and ESPN, though, and they've got some smaller ones as well, Conference USA. So they're partnered with a lot of smaller conferences for collegiate sports that they air. Then they also have deals with the Arena Football League, the Professional Bull Riders Association. I know they've done some college hockey, the Rodeo, World's Strongest Man. So, yeah. Yeah, especially you look at some of those lower-tier professional sports, and I think that Impact is a good fit there. I also think that CBS Sports Network, kind of like Fox Sports 1, would welcome with open arms 300,000 to 400,000 viewers of original programming on a weekly basis. I think too, and I'm not 100% positive on this, but I think that the CBS Sports Network is carried by more providers than POP TV. If not, they might be around the same amount, but I'm almost positive that CBS Sports Network has a bigger clearance with HD channels, which I think is enormous. Right now, I've mentioned this a couple of times, the town that I live in, from a cable standpoint, the only option is Comcast Xfinity. It's all that there is. We could go to satellite, but there's no Verizon, Fios, there's no other cable provider, and POP TV is not on the HD channel listing. And I told the story on the show before. When I found out that Impact was going to POP TV, I had to check to see if I had POP TV. And it's not to sound like a snob, but it's 2017. If a show's not in HD, if the network is not in HD, I'm not going to know that it exists, because when I go to surf my channels, I start at the first HD channel and I go up from there. So I think that the fact that CBS Sports Network, I believe, is on a wider HD clearance than POP TV is, would be good for them. I think they could at least get to where they were on Destination America, which was around, if I remember, 400,000 to 500,000. Andrew, what are your thoughts there? Do you think they'd be a better fit for, from the CBS family standpoint, for a CBS Sports Network than a POP TV?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I had not thought of that. So I know very, very, very little about actual sports. So I'll just admit that. So I did not even know CBS had their own sports channel. So you guys have been filling me in on this and enlightening me on the fact that it is more in more homes. I think it sounds better, you know, say Impact on CBS Sports as opposed to POP TV.
Yeah.
I think that sounds better.
Just the initial CBS sounds better right off the bat.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I think if they're able to do it, it sounds like a good move. But, yeah, otherwise, I had no idea about viewership or, yeah, even the existence of this. But I'd be all for it if it just in that sense that it sounds more prestigious. They could probably get better editors. and more promotional time to hype their shows in between commercial breaks.
Yeah, I would say too, like you were saying, from a promotional standpoint, if they're able to get spots throughout the week, like you watch USA at any given point during the day throughout the week, mostly it's, you know, Law and Order marathons. But over the course of those shows, you're going to see advertisements for Raw. You know, my wife watches Law and Order SVU like no one on this planet. And when she watches, you know, a long run of episodes on USA, at least once an hour, there's, you know, Monday on Raw, and they show a clip of what happened last week's, you know, advertising what is going to happen the next week. Happens all the time. So if you're going to get that on one of these CBS properties, where's a better place to get it? Is it better to get it on Pop TV, where you're airing some original programming, but not a whole lot, and a lot of it is, you know, like we said, soap opera reruns, that there's not going to be a lot of audience crossover? I think there would be more of an audience crossover on CBS Sports Network. And not everybody that's watching a college basketball game is going to go, oh yeah, I want to check out the wrestling. But I think the crossover and audience there is a lot more than what you're getting on the crossover audience on Pop TV.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Just the fact that they show like reruns of The Young and the Restless, and I just think that that's just not the real direction that you want to go. I mean, yes, there are elements of soap opera in pro wrestling, but not to the point where it has to be really connected to them. I mean, in a way that if with CBS Sports Network, not only did you mention all the other sports properties, but they've also aired boxing in the past. As a matter of fact, Jim Ross has actually called some matches for CBS Sports Network on boxing. So there's a lot of tie-in as far as the ring sports per se, and it would definitely feel a much better fit. Not only that, but CBS Sports has also covered WWE. Like, if you go to the app, they have a section of WWE news and their website too as well. In fact, they even, I think they were the ones that broke the story of the Rock and Roll Express being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point.
I think I see
it on the website too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I want to add a little thing. I know you guys have listened to your show pretty much from day one, and I know you guys like to do like the top three things associated with GFW and Impact. I've got a top three of my own, and there are just three, I guess you can say, annoying things that, in a lot of ways, Impact is associated, but it's things that I see in pro wrestling, and I kind of saw all that in tonight's episode. If you don't mind, I'd like to go through them real quick.
Sure thing.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, sure. The first thing I noticed right off the bat, opening segment, you know, and you know, you talked about it with Jeff Jarrett and Karen Angle, you know, or Karen Jarrett, in a sense, although I guess she's trying to mimic her ex-husband as far as the GM goes. And I just think that the authority figures on Impact side, it just all, and it's really all the elements where they try to copy WWE or any other wrestling promotion that tries to do that route, and they just totally fail because they look and feel like a clone of their competitors, and it just really nauseates towards me. Now, there are some segments they do very well, like the Lashley segment. I like to see more of that UFC real fight mentality, or even the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather segments before the fight. You know, I love to see more of that and less of them trying to pretend to do the comedy like we saw with the Joe Park segment and all that. That's my first big gripe. The second biggest gripe was on the opening of the show. It's like after Eli Drake wins the world title, or the global championship as it's now known in GFW, he comes out in this, and he, and a lot of it is just like these heels that win the title. The first thing they do, they get a suit, and they try to almost clone Ric Flair in a sense, as far as like, oh, I got to get a three-piece suit and do all this stuff. And then I see there's like a zebra couch where he and the former Chris Hero, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know. And it just, it really drives me crazy, you know. Like the heels, they win the title, they have to dress real, like, you know, three-piece suit, and it just, you know, can they just come out with their regular gear and, you know, just try to at least seem like there is somewhat of a connection. Like, I saw the fans' reaction when they saw that couch. Man, that just, they were laughing at him. They were not booing him. They were laughing at him in that sense.
Yeah, you won't get an argument from me.
A lot. I noticed a lot of wrestlers are doing that. I think kind of, maybe like Jericho kind of started that. But yeah, I mean, even Eddie Edwards, when he won the title, he suddenly was wearing a suit when he had never done anything like that before. But yeah, it's definitely a cliche at this point.
And on your point regarding Lashley too, I am a firm believer in wrestling should be trying to take as many elements from MMA as possible. And you can't take everything, you can't take everything, but I think that they should be presenting their characters in a very similar way to the way that UFC presents their characters. They're real people in UFC. I get it. They're actual fighting, as we've learned watching Impact over the last couple of weeks, because they've told us. I get it. But UFC does a lot of UFC does things to build their fights the way that pro wrestling used to build their big matches 30 years ago, and it worked. I've heard Jim Cornette talk about this. He said, you know, UFC took all of our best tricks from a wrestling standpoint in terms of selling a fight. They should be trying to draw as many of those elements as possible and working them into their product, because not only is that plan proven to be successful, both with wrestling 30 years ago and with UFC now, it's going to make them feel different than WWE, because WWE does not present themselves in a sport-like manner enough. They do sometimes. I don't want to say they don't do it, you know, at all, but they don't do it enough. And I think that could help separate them from WWE and make them feel different and a little more special.
Yeah, you hit it right on the nail. And the last thing I wanted to add is, I know that the announcing situation has somewhat gotten better since the Pope has left the Croons, now a two-man team with Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews. But I'm sorry, guys. Jeremy Borash is just, to me, he comes off as just so annoying as a play-by-play guy. It's like, he was spending his time in the last years at WCW listening to Tony Schiavone, and it's like he's not even doing a good impersonation of Tony Schiavone in a lot of ways. It's like a bad one. It's like, my goodness, you know, they had Bruce Prichard because of the success of the podcast. Do you think they would make a call to Schiavone and say, hey, you know, you don't have to go on the road. You could just do the shows here in Florida. You know, it's like, to me, Borash just come across as just, I don't know if it's because of him from being from Minnesota, no offense to Wade Keller, of course, but it's just like his voice just comes off as annoying in a lot of ways. You know, I've listened to this guy for 15 years. Like, I go back to when the show was actually shown locally. They had what ultimately became Explosion, and Borash was the host, and he just drove me insane. It's like this borderline high-pitched voice, and, you know, you think as it got older, it would deteriorate some, but no, it's just gotten so bad. I would rather have anybody else doing play-by-play, even Josh Matthews to some extent, than to have Borash doing the play-by-play. But that's really all I have to say as far as my top three, I guess you can say, gripes with Impact. And I hope you guys liked my opinions on that, and I know you got some more callers, so I'll hang up and let you get into some more callers, and you have a good rest of the night.
Thanks, Kenny. You too. He brings up a good point, Andrew. I had higher hopes for Jeremy Borash on the announce team. I think one of the things that I'm having a real hard time getting over with that is just the fact that Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews, what was it, 6 weeks ago now, 7 weeks ago now, however long ago it was, hated each other. They wanted to kill each other.
Yeah.
And now they're, for the most part, just getting along out of nowhere for no other reason than Bruce Prichard told them that they had to. I'm having a hard time getting past that. Not only does all of that bickering just now seem like a complete waste of time because it literally led nowhere, but it's taking away from the commentary a little bit for me. And I don't think that, to be quite honest with you, I don't think that either of those guys, Josh Matthews or Jeremy Borash, are at the... even in the top five of guys I'd want to call the show right now. It's interesting that Kenny brought up Tony Schiavone. I mean, I'm a big fan. I think we're all big fans of the voices that were around when we first started watching wrestling. That's, you know, you remember the good old days. I wouldn't mind Tony Schiavone. I mean, I remember Tony Schiavone's voice narrated some really big moments in WCW, and that might make you know, some of these things in GFW right now seem like they're a little bigger when you think about the fact that he called Hogan and Goldberg at the Georgia Dome. He called Hogan's heel turn at Bash at the Beach. You know, his voice is associated with a lot of big moments.
Yeah, it is. As another fellow Minnesotan, I cannot defend Jeremy Borash there. But it's not because of that. I've listened to him, and he never nailed the big moment like that Jim Ross does, or even Michael Cole is able to on occasion. I haven't written these down, but there has been times where there's like this huge moment that I'm expecting him to just, you know, go over the top. Oh my God, I cannot believe something like this is happening. And he just never does it. He's always in this like kind of range from a 4 to a 6. I feel, I don't think he's terrible. But I don't think he's great. I think he made a pretty good backstage interviewer. I think he's a valuable employee and he adds to the legacy of the company. But yeah, I don't think he has the chops to be the lead play-by-play guy. I'm very curious to see how Tony Schiavone does. I think MLW is doing a pay-per-view.
Yes.
Some sort of reunion show, and he's going to be doing that. So
he is. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if he still has the passion for this, I say, you know, why not? I would take him over Borash at this point. I think his podcast is pretty popular. He's kind of got the nostalgia factor now where people don't, you know, like hate him or make fun of him as much as they used to. I think there is a fondness there, like you said. And if he still has the passion and the knowledge and knows what he's doing, yeah, maybe he'd be a decent guy to do it for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the reason why I like David Penzer as a ring announcer. You know, it's just that familiar voice. And you need to get new people involved. I mean, I think ideally if you were to bring in someone like Tony Schiavone, I know months ago we talked about Jim Ross before he was back with WWE on a semi-regular basis. But I think you need to pair a veteran like that with the next guy you want to take that place. You know, and it might not even be anybody that's with the company right now, but find your voice of the future, have them be the voice of your show with Tony Schiavone, let's say, for the next 3 or 4 years, and then pass that torch and give the new voice, but let him sort of be the apprentice for a while. I don't think you need a heel color commentator. I don't think you need a 3-man booth. I think you could go with 2 guys, and sort of make it, you know, kind of work that way. But all right, let's get to more phone calls because we still have more people on the line at 515-605-9345. We also have to get to our top three later, our top three this week, the top three free agents that GFW should look to sign in 2018. And there's a lot of other topics too that we haven't even talked about yet. The Rosemary Sexy Star incident from Mexico this past week. I don't know if any of the callers want to talk about that, but we will get to that, of course, as well. So a lot going on, but let's go to our next caller. And our next caller is Vinny. Vinny, how are you doing this Thursday?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How about you?
Very busy, but pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are slammed. I like that. That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
No, you guys do a great job. I really enjoy you guys every week. Listen, I wanted to give some thoughts about this network and shoot a couple questions at you. Then I'll kind of just drop off the line, and then I'll catch you later on when I download the episode. But here's what I think could be a good benefit with the network. Hear me out. They got all these partnerships with AAA, Pro Wrestling NOAH. I can't remember the rest of them, but I think what they should do, get the app, sell it for $5 monthly, all right? Let's say you hit 100,000 worldwide. Make it worldwide. Don't make it domestic, right? Make it worldwide. You're bringing in about 250 grand gross a month. You grow from there. But instead of just having Impact, because there's not really a vast majority of shows. I think Andrew just said there's like 600 episodes of Impact and a couple hundred pay-per-views. You get content from NOAH, from AAA. You kind of build this as, hey, this is a global wrestling network. And hey, in the States, you get GFW. Hey, in Japan, you're going to get Pro Wrestling NOAH. Mexico, AAA, Crash, and kind of build to that, because I think the streaming is the way of the future. Unfortunately, I'm still a cable guy, but I think that's the way of the future. And I think if GFW plays it smart, which it seems like they're doing, they don't have enough content to kind of host a network like that. But if everything's going to be on demand, which I would assume it would be, I don't think they're going to do live programming 24/7. I think that's where the Impact Wrestling channel on Pluto is going to come into play. But if they can launch this thing at a reasonable price, which is half of what WWE offers, which I think is fair, their loyal fans are going to get it. $5 is nothing. You get your Impact shows. You might get some incentives by getting some international shows. And what I would do, and I don't know if it's possible from pay-per-view perspective, hey, if you're a subscriber of the Global Wrestling Network and there's a big pay-per-view from GFW, instead of, you know, what, $50 or $60 that it's at, hey, we'll knock $10 off of it or $12, $15, whatever the case may be. Give the customer some incentive to invest that $5 a month, but also get the pay-per-views and get that exclusive content. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's an ideal situation. And it'd be interesting, you know, if they were able to generate content from some of these other places that they have partnerships with, what the financial obligation would be to those other companies. I mean, that's obviously above my pay grade to figure out. You get lawyers involved and stuff, I'm sure. But there'd have to be some sort of negotiation of what their financial obligation would be to those other places. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, that's what they're trying to be, the epicenter of wrestling. I mean, they're not going to be WWE, but they're trying to become the global force. The name's not there by accident. You're right. They're trying to become the center of all these different promotions where all these talents can come together. I think that'd be a great idea. And that would absolutely provide a lot more incentive for people to download and pay for the app. And then you could even figure, like, on the price point on pay-per-views, like you were saying, I think they're, you know, $40 or $50 right now for an HD feed on their pay-per-views. They're only getting about half of that anyway. So I think you could easily offer through your website or through, you know, an add-on with the network. If you have the Global Wrestling Network, you have the opportunity to buy the pay-per-view on the Global Wrestling Network for, let's say, $20 instead of $40. GFW isn't losing any money because you're just cutting out the middleman. You're cutting out the cable provider. I think that's a great way to go if they can make it happen. Andrew, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think so too. I'd never thought of something like that. Yeah, I think a lot of people would do $5 a month for just Global Force, but not a ton. But yeah, if you do add in that extra bonus of getting those other promotions, I think it definitely makes it a better deal. And I don't even know if you have to pay those other companies so much because you're at least giving them more exposure. I mean, Pro Wrestling Noah is probably making next to nothing in the United States. I mean, maybe a little merchandise or something. I have no idea, but it at least gives them bigger awareness and, yeah, makes it bigger that way. So it could be beneficial to both parties, even if they're not giving them a lot of money to carry their content.
And one thing, I mean, and I don't know the logistics on how there's a breakdown for, you know, for money, but, you know, even GFW can say, hey, we're going to get advertisers with our network to play 30 to second to a minute videos. And hey, when your content's played, just take the advertising, you know, that way there's more of an incentive for the company. Cause yeah, Pro Wrestling, no, I don't think they have any outlet for their content. But if they can get a way to kind of get the ball rolling, I think it's going to help GFW's reputation with maybe smaller companies worldwide and say, oh, crap, you know, hey, WWE is the mecca. No one's going to stop WWE. I think what WWE is trying to do, which is very interesting, is that, you know, they had the UK show and they had the women's tournament. And I think that WWE style is kind of what their vision is for you know, their audience. But if GFW can have, you know, different styles of wrestling, strong style Japan, you know, the Lucha Libre in Mexico, and then kind of the American with the, you know, the comedy and all that. I think that they would really have a nice starting point to just get some, just a revenue stream. You know, if the Pop TV deal, which what I find interesting nowadays, especially with, I guess, a new management, I've seen advertising change a lot. I'm seeing a lot more T-Mobile commercials. I'm seeing a lot of big companies advertising. I'm going to say they probably gave them a little bit more money, but Spike TV, you know, they got the Spike in UK, which is probably giving them good money. just more revenue streams are going to be better for them, thinking outside the box. So I just want to throw that at you guys. I was just thinking about that throughout the day today, and I wanted to pitch it to you. Another thing, whoever the caller was talking crazy about Eli Drake, I'm not with it, all right? You can't talk trash about the man. He's got a three-piece suit. He's a good-looking dude. Women want him. Men want to be him. I don't want to hear about all that. He's the champ. He does whatever the hell he wants. So I'm sticking up for Eli in this regard. I was so happy, guys, when I heard that he won the title. I was spoiled by a friend of mine who was in Orlando, and I won't say his name, but when I see him, it's on. But I was so happy they put the belt on him because, you know, he's a guy I've been watching for a long time, and I really think that in an era where the flips and the dives and all that stuff is pretty popular, I think he's a guy that can kind of bring it back to that old school. And with GFW going back to an old school booking mentality, I think it's really going to help the product. I don't know if it's going to draw a lot of people in, maybe outsiders, but I think he's going to be really good with the belt. So I wanted to throw that out there. And then my last thing that I just want to ask you guys, because this has been bothering me over the last few weeks. With the way ATT, Jeff Jarrett storyline, Bobby Lashley, I think that this is something that is going to be huge for GFW, and I'll tell you why. I have a lot of hardcore MMA fans. I live here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and this place is filled with a plethora of MMA fans that in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, they were huge wrestling fans, right? Those fans turn into MMA fans, right? So there's always this debate about, what's better, pro wrestling, MMA? I always say it's entertainment. If you like to see somebody get their brains punched out, watch UFC. If you want to see a little bit more of a story, you watch wrestling. I think this storyline is going to open up a lot of dialogue, and I think the realism of that they're doing with it is really, really good. I know you guys are critical on the packages. Well, this is real fighting. And, you know, Jeff Jarrett saying, well, this is, you know, pro wrestling. I think the line needs to be drawn, you know, in the sand. Hey, this is what we do for pro wrestling, and get the attitude back, because that's what's severely lacking in pro wrestling. A friend of mine who's a huge MMA fan, I asked him, why'd you stop watching wrestling? And you know what he told me? He said, they insult my intelligence. He started watching WWE. Kurt Angle's son is Jason. No, you know, he's no way to kick. Kurt Angle can't have a black son, right? And I told him, chill out. You know, it's a storyline. You know it's not real. But I think WWE and a lot of other companies, they insult the fans' intelligence there somewhat. GFW's done that a few times. But I really think with this storyline, if it can open them up to have more realism in that storyline, I think a lot of fans are going to slowly creep back up because they want wrestling to have that attitude. You know, they don't want to see – MMA has attitude. They're cursing. They're very aggressive. So, like you said, Mike, they can take some aspects of UFC and bring it back into pro wrestling. And I think they got the right creative team to do it. Baby steps. But I'm really intrigued by this storyline because I think it's going to bring some MMA fans in. But I also think it can give wrestling that attitude that it really needs, because I agree with the guy. Those fans that were WCW Nitro guys, NWO, Goldberg, Stone Cold, The Rock, they don't watch it anymore because it got soft, you know, and in this game, you know, as you guys follow it, I watched, and briefly, because I know you guys got a lot of calls, I started watching wrestling again in 2006, so about 11 years ago, but I really started paying attention. I subscribed to The Torch 11 years ago, and I've been following ever since then to really kind of get a mind state of how this works. And I've seen that the WWE holds the torch, and wherever the torch goes, a lot of people follow. But if GFW can kind of follow what they do a little bit, right, because WWE knows what they're doing, but be different in that respect and gain that realism back, I think that they have a shot to have a better product in WWE, but also bring those fans in that said, hey, I'm not watching wrestling because it insults my intelligence. What do you guys think?
I totally agree. I think I was saying it earlier. You can pull some of those elements. One of the things that stood out to me tonight, what's one of the first things we saw? We saw Eli Drake and Chris Adonis arriving at the building and doing, you know, not a long arrival, but a little walk through the back. Then we saw American Top Team, same thing. We saw them arriving in the building, and here they are earlier today arriving for tonight's show. You watch a UFC show. What's one of the first – not maybe not one of the first things, but at some point during the night, you're going to see the two guys in the main event arriving at the building. I watched the McGregor-Mayweather fight on Saturday. When those guys arrived there, they cut to the backstage. Here's Floyd Mayweather arriving at the building. Here's Conor McGregor arriving. I mean, it's one small little thing, but I know, and they've done that the last couple of weeks where they've taken a couple of guys right off the bat, you know, right when the show starts. Here they are showing up today. It's just little things like that, little production elements like that I think they could take back from MMA, which is stuff that MMA, for the most part, got from pro wrestling. So I think they should do as much of that as they can without going too overboard and making it feel like they're trying to work an MMA fight. But yeah, Andrew, what are your thoughts there? I mean, are there some elements that you think that they have been taking, and is there something maybe that they haven't done yet that you feel like they should try to implement?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty surprised at this angle, because it seems like, you know, it's kind of resonating with all the callers so far. I think, yeah, there's something there for sure, and there is a weird clash because, you know, the MMA stuff does feel more realistic, minus the Karen Jarrett yelling in everyone's face. But then you do stuff like the show opening with the zebra couch, and, you know, it's just kind of a weird clash. And then, of course, Joseph Park and Grado. And I know they want to be like a variety show, just like WWE attempts. But, yeah, there is kind of a weird clash. But I guess some of it is working. And that's the stuff they should be building more towards, because, you know, I'm a proponent, too, of putting more MMA style into wrestling as a whole. And that's probably something Global Force should look into, because WWE definitely does not tap into it anywhere near enough.
It's, you know, I just think that, you know, it's pop culture. And I mentioned to you guys before, I'm in the music industry, right? When a trend happens, everybody jumps on it. And I think that that's the problem with wrestling, is that WWE does it, and then the wrestling companies feel, oh, we should do it as well. And I don't agree with that. You know, I grew up as a you know, teenager with ECW, which is completely different from WWE. And then, you know, you had something for everybody with any company. Now it just seems everybody's doing the same thing. But yeah, I just want to get your thoughts. I really think that this ATT storyline is going to do some, I think it's going to help them out a little bit. And I like Karen. I don't know. I might be the minority. I love Karen yelling at him, like, who the hell are you? Get the hell out of here. Like, because I think it brings that realism, like, hey, we invited you here, you know, and you're choking our referees out. You think you're a badass because you're MMA, you know, the big macho. You know what? Look, we're trying to put a show on here. And you're messing things up. So I'm definitely intrigued. And before I go, again, any caller, I'm writing your name down from before and after. You're talking crazy about Eli Drake, I'm coming after you. And I'll tell the champ as well on Instagram. We had a nice little convo the other day, and it was funny. He was just, you know, he needs support, damn it. And I think he's going to have a good run. I'm interested where they go. But you guys have a good night. Thanks so much for let me talk to you now.
Absolutely, Vinny. Anytime. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to we got to go to another break, and then we get more calls. So when we come back after the next 30-second break, we're only going to go 30 seconds. So right after this 30-second break, we'll be back with more phone calls right here on the PW Torch Livecast.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcast.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcast.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
All right, back here in the PW Torch Livecast post-impact show, I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek. We're going to get to our top three in just a couple of minutes. This week's top three free agents GFW should be targeting. But let's finish up the phone calls on this week's episode. Up next is Keith in Virginia. Keith, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. I just had some thoughts on the show, just some free-flowing thoughts. Eli Drake, I think he's great. So the last caller shouldn't have any beef with me. I think he's good. Putting a title on him all of a sudden is not good. But I feel like if there was a stipulation that Jim Cornette should have put, it was that if Eli Drake can get the pin, then he'll get out of his contract and he can go to NXT because he has no future here. GFW, I don't get what they're trying to – I don't get what their business model is. It's like everything they do is a cheap ripoff of things that people don't like about the WWE. It's – you have that awful Grado comedy segment, which – let me just point out that attempting to defraud the immigration service is a felony, and Joseph Parks and Grado come out on TV in front of thousands of people and talk about how he needs to get married so he can defraud the United States of America. Why is he not in jail right now? It makes no sense.
That's a great point. That's up there with LAX talking about all the crimes they were going to commit on last week's episode.
Yeah, exactly. And his solution to his problem was to get engaged to a Canadian. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, it's almost like GFW, it's like the first instinct is just to copy everything. The Global Force Network. It's like they didn't even think twice, and they just decided to call it the Global Force Network. Why? I mean, what are they broadcasting exactly? It's because there's the WWE Network, so we have to call ourselves the Global Force Network. Why not call it Global Force Pass or Global? I mean, there's no network. It's just an app or a website. And Johnny Impact. Why is he Johnny Impact? Because he was Johnny Nitro years ago. I mean,
I don't like that name either. Yeah,
call him by his real name, or I mean, they have so many directions they could go in, and they have a new TV deal, such as it is. Do something different. Do anything differently, but they present the exact same format as Raw and SmackDown every week. People come into the ring, people interrupting them. You turn that into a tag match. I mean, what are you trying to accomplish except being a shadow of somebody else more successful? You don't even have to have that many matches on TV. Why not have a long match and a couple of short matches, and then be the destination for, you know, indie guys? I really don't know what they're trying to do, but that was basically my thoughts on everything. I'll let you guys get to other callers.
Thanks, Keith. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
I think he brings up a great point, Andrew. It's actually one of the things that I thought about, and we touched on the opening segment with Eli Drake earlier, but that was something that really stood out to me in that opening segment, where just you watch New Japan, you watch Ring of Honor, they feel different than WWE. You don't feel like you're watching, or even Evolve. I mean, obviously the setting for something like Evolve is a lot different too. But you don't feel like you're watching something that is, it's the same thing, it's pro wrestling, but it doesn't look like WWE. Impact, I do think, tries to be WWE with too many things. And they just can't. They don't have the money to do it. They don't have the production value to do it. And it does. It feels like a minor league version of WWE. You know, it's gotten to a point where even from a production standpoint, you know, NXT has surpassed them because they have more money. But yeah, there are elements of the show that I think still feels too much like they're just trying to be a light version of WWE. And I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. Like, I think if you're a casual fan or somebody that just, you don't watch very much, and you turn that on tonight and you saw Eli Drake and the former Chris Masters in suits, it looks like a poor man's Miz TV, as good as Eli Drake is. I don't want to get in any trouble with Vinny. You know, you look at that couch and that set, and it just looks like a knockoff of WWE. And I think it all just boils down to Jeff Jarrett is not a visionary. He's not that creative of a guy. I mean, when he first started TNA, his big idea was to hire Vince Russo, you know, the guy who came from WWF and WCW. And it's just, you know, he doesn't like bring in, you know, someone with a brand new vision of what wrestling is. I mean, even now, Jeremy Borash, you know, like we've been talking about, he's from WCW 18 years ago, and he's in this position, but it's nothing out of the box. And then, yeah, Josh Matthews, he's from WWE. Yeah, it is kind of maddening in its own way that they don't take any sort of risks in that aspect. Yeah, I mean, it's all over the show.
90 like seconds.
They're, you know, just taking the idea of Johnny, you know, Johnny Nitro. And yeah, I think it all just comes down to Jeff Jarrett just doing what he knows, which is, you know, getting his big ideas from WWE.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. Vince Russo tried to push Jeff Jarrett to the top as world champion. So like, to me, it's like, well, okay, no surprise that Jeff Jarrett likes the way Vince Russo thinks. Imagine that.
60 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, they do some really good things. And it's such a mix, even on just one particular episode. There's some episodes that, of course, we like better than others. But you watch a two-hour episode, and there's some things where you go, wow, they're onto something here. This is really good. And then there's other things where they leave you scratching your head. So let's go to another break. It'll be our last break before we get to our top three. Then we'll come back. We'll do our top three. We'll get to VIP plugs. And then Andrew and I will record a VIP after show exclusively for PW Torch VIP members. We've been slammed with phone calls tonight. That was great. We welcome as many phone calls as possible. If you didn't get through tonight, you can get through next week at 515-605-9345. If you're listening on demand, downloading the show on the RSS feed after Impact on Friday or over the weekend, you can hear us every single Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. We're live as soon as Impact goes off the air at pwtorchlivecast.com. Andrew and I will be back with our top three. We'll get to more topics on the VIP after show as well. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Livecast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it too every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
All right, back here in the PW Torch Livecast. Andrew, we were slammed with these this week with phone calls. This was great.
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't as newsworthy of a show as the past couple of weeks. I'm surprised, but very cool, very encouraged.
Absolutely. And again, if you want to get on the line next week, 515-605-9345. But let's get to our top three. This week's top three, the top three free agents that Impact should target. Did we say in 2018? I'm trying to pull up the
2018. Yeah.
Yes. So the top three targets at TNA or that's the first time I've done that tonight. The top three targets at GFW should be targeting in 2018. Let's get right to it because we got a VIP after show to still record after this. Yeah. What did you have as your or who did you have as your number three?
Sure. Just at the beginning, I have kind of one fantasy pick and then two more legitimate ones. I didn't want to do all fantasy. So And I don't know exact contract details, but I'm going to say these guys will probably all be free sometime next year. My number three would be a homecoming, and it's probably cheating because I'm going with the tag team here. I'm going to bring back the Motor City Machine Guns back to, I almost said TNA myself in my mind, Global Force Wrestling. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, they're in Ring of Honor right now. They're doing pretty good work, but I just don't think they fit that well in that environment. I think they were more entertaining when they were in TNA, and they're still young guys. Chris Sabin, of course, is a former heavyweight champion. I think Alex Shelley is vastly underutilized. Bring him in as a tag team. I don't think there's really any cool babyface tag teams at the moment, so they could boost that way. They bring a little goodwill back to the company in the sense that, you know, some returning former veterans are coming back, and eventually you can break them up and go on singles runs with them. So yeah, the Machine Guns.
I like that pick. Yeah, I think it was kind of funny. I watched them, it was almost a year ago now, but at a pay-per-view here in Lowell, and I'm drawing a blank on which one it was, but it was the Ladder Wars with Motor City Machine Guns against the Young Bucks, against Daniels and Kazarian. And it almost felt like the Motor City Machine Guns were just lost in that match. There was, those other teams were positioned higher than the Motor City Machine Guns were. So I felt like they were lost there, and it made me think of the time. And again, this is almost a year ago. I think that was at the end of September. Like, hey, you know what? TNA could really use these guys right now. And this was a year ago. And I still think it applies. I think that's a good pick. I went with a guy who I think could help the X division in the short term, and then also be a guy that in time they can transition from the X division into the world title picture, and that's Ricochet. He's an unbelievable flyer. He can do pretty much anything you want. You know, he can wrestle on the mat. He can fly with the best of them. He's super athletic. I think he has underrated charisma. I think that some people don't give him the credit for the type of charisma and character that he brings. So I think he helps your X division right away. And then he's a guy that can make that transition from the X division or the cruiserweight division to the world title picture in a year or two, or, you know, in due time. Speaking of the X division, and a guy who I also think could be elevated, and a guy I like, once again, Andrew, we did not see from Desmond Xavier. So he won the Super X Cup.
Wow.
And it just got me thinking of Ricochet. So he wins the Super X Cup and then is basically, he's never seen from again. So great. But yeah, Ricochet is my number three. Who did you have as your number two?
Number two, we were raving about this guy probably a month ago, I want to say. He has not been in either of the major leagues yet, I guess. Keith Lee. Going to bring him in.
He's my number one.
Oh, nice.
Yes, we're very much in agreement.
Yeah, I think we raved about him. I would like to see him do the Samoa Joe push where he's just undefeated for 6 months or a year. Have him start at the bottom and just have him kill guys left and right. He wins all of his matches within 2 minutes until he works his way up, and then eventually makes his way into the main event. But super high on this guy. He's going to be he's going to end up somewhere. So they may as well offer him a deal and try to bring him in as soon as possible.
Totally agree. I think you build Keith Lee the way that WWE built Braun Strowman. And if, let's say, they were to sign him right now, he's not in your Bound for Glory main event in November because it's too soon. But he is in 2018, and I think you just build him slowly, like you said, start at the bottom. He beats some jobbers, and then he beats guys lower on the card, and then he beats guys higher on the card, and then he beats guys that maybe you bring in from AAA or Pro Wrestling Noah, and then he's ready and he's undefeated and he's going for the world title a little over a year from now. Keith Lee, I had him as my number one, but I completely agree. I think he's absolutely someone they should target. My number two, I went with the technical savvy here. Went with Zack Sabre Jr., who is... I think he was part of the Cruiserweight Classic, wasn't he, a year ago?
He was, yes.
Yeah. And also, in the U.S. anyway, heavily involved with Evolve. I went back and forth, actually, between Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay, but settled on Zack Sabre Jr. just because I don't think that GFW has a guy like him, just as good a technical wrestler as he is. I think he could bring a different element to the show, and it would be intriguing putting a guy like Zack Sabre Jr. even in the X Division against guys like Desmond Xavier, and if they were to sign Ricochet. And I think Zack Sabre Jr. and Trevor Lee could have a awesome series of matches too, but he's a little different for that division in the sense that he can fly, but he's not your prototypical, you know, he's not a lucha wrestler, he's not your prototypical high flyer. He brings sort of a technical aspect to that X division that I think would be pretty cool. We know that Keith Lee was my number one, but who do you have as your number one?
This is where I am going into fantasy, because this guy's probably not he'll come back someday, somewhere, I think. But CM Punk, I'm going to go number one.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. So what I would say is whatever they're going to pay El Patron if he comes back, whatever they were paying Johnny Impact, then take three more guys they're thinking of signing and give all that money to Punk. And to sweeten it, just be like, you can be on the booking committee. Hell, you can be head booker. Because I don't know how else he would get him in without giving him big control.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to. He'd have to have total control over his character.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, too. I mean, you listen to, you know, on that Cabana podcast, talking about how he kind of formed the Shield and different ideas he had and things he saw wrong with WWE. It would be the biggest, I think, signing ever that they had. He would be a lot more relevant and bring in more fans than Hulk Hogan did. So if they're able to do that, like, he could maybe bring them to that 500,000 point. And if he did, that money would then be worth it, whatever they would pay him. So go all in. I don't know, pay him half of what the roster makes, because if he brings in 200,000 people, it'll be worth it.
I completely agree. I think that he's the one guy out there right now that can move the needle. Even more, you know, I think Daniel Bryan, if he decides to wrestle again and it's not with WWE and his contract's up, I think he could too, but not to the extent that Punk could. I think Punk could do for GFW now what Hogan did for WCW in 94. He's the guy that can move the needle. I totally agree with you. And I also, I mean, look at Hogan had creative control over his character when he went to WCW. I don't think that Punk's going to come without total creative control. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I don't think CM Punk is Hulk Hogan. I think CM Punk, if it was the right time for him to lay down and do a job to Keith Lee that you bring into the company, or Johnny Impact, or whomever, he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. I think he's a lot more business than most of your 80s, 90s top – not 90s isn't fair, but definitely 80s top stars are. I don't think he's going to hold people down. I don't think he's going to want to be at the top by himself. I think he's going to be in a top position, and he should be, especially on that roster. He should be the top position, and there really shouldn't be anybody even close to him. But I think he's going to be throwing down ropes, trying to get guys to his level. I would absolutely do whatever it takes that wouldn't be an absorbent amount of money that would put them out of business. I would give to CM Punk if he was interested in coming in, and I would give him complete control 100% over whatever he's doing on the show. So 100%. That's a no-brainer. And I think that's the one guy right now that could really move the needle in a big way for them.
Yeah, I mean, for people who are sick of Roman Reigns and John Cena and Randy Orton, that would be a true alternative, finally, if Punk was the top star in the company over the next couple of years. And, you know, he works. He only have to work once every 6 weeks, or, you know, that set of shows. So who knows? Probably not, but fun to think about.
Yeah, and he wouldn't be on the road. I mean, they're not doing nearly as many house shows, so that would be huge. Like I said, that'd be a needle mover for them. All right, let's get to the VIP plugs. That will wrap up the show this week. But before we get out of here, anything else you want to touch on before we go? I know we didn't talk about the Rosemary thing. We could do that on the VIP after show. So if you want our thoughts on what happened between Rosemary and Sexy Star down in Mexico this past week, we will talk about that on our VIP after show, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But anything else you want to plug before we get out of here for this week?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Just you can follow me on Twitter if you want. Andrew, S-O-U-C-E-K. We heard the advertisement before, check out PW Podcast for all your wrestling podcast needs. And I think that's about it for me.
All right, yep. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. And like I said, you can check out Andrew and I if you're a VIP member here at PWTorch.com on our VIP after show. We're going to talk about the Roman Reigns John Cena promo. We're going to talk about the Rosemary incident from Mexico. Is Undertaker returning? We'll talk about that. There's been some clues lately, including a clue in that Cena promo, and one that other people are hearing, but I don't think I am. And then we'll also talk a little bit about the PWI Top 500. They released the Top 10. We could take a look at the Top 10 this year in the PWI 500 if we'd have other guys in there or haven't moved around at all. And then also rumors that Dave Bautista might be the headliner for the WWE Hall of Fame in 2018. So we'll touch on all those topics on our VIP after show. If you are not VIP here at PWTorch.com, here's a little bit more about it and why you should be a PWTorch VIP member. That'll do it for Andrew and I this week. We'll talk to you guys again next Thursday as soon as Impact goes off the air. We'll catch you, if you're a VIP member, on our VIP after show in just a couple of minutes. And if you're not VIP, here's why you should be.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s, but you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Wade Keller Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Shad Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.